Hey everybody, long time no listen. Hope you're doing well and welcome back to another interview with Icebreaker featuring Frida Ruiz, the founder of The Green Cause, a nonprofit working on bringing environmental education into schools and classrooms. And in this episode, we discuss the sort of environmental education with project-based learning. We also worked with The Green Cause for the YCCC, if you're familiar with that, the Youth Climate Change Conference back in early August, which we hosted with Covalence Global. And they also hosted a workshop on climate-based communication as well, so it was really exciting to work with them again this time around. Be sure to check out The Green Cause on Instagram, at The Green Cause, their website, thegreencause.com, their Twitter, at thegreencause1, and their LinkedIn. This was a really enjoyable conversation to have, and I hope you enjoy listening to this as much as I enjoyed recording it. Hi guys, today we have Frida Ruiz, the founder of The Green Cause. The Green Cause is a fiscally sponsored youth-led organization with over 200 members, whose mission is to bring environmental education into schools and communities through classroom lesson presentations and social media content. They have 5 teams in which high school volunteers passionate about the environment can create change and hope to not only plant a seed of interest into those who interact with their content, but to also empower youth to be part of the solution. So today we're going to be discussing environmental education, especially in relation to the kind Frida conducts, which is project-based. But before we start, a small icebreaker, kind of spontaneous, but if you had any superpower, what would it be?
Hello. So of course, thank you for letting me come on to your podcast, and thank you for the great introduction. So if I were to have a superpower, what would it be? I would say either talking to animals or mind reading. Just because, I don't know, I've always been like fascinated with like Professor X's abilities, partially because of that. And with the animals, I think it'd be incredibly interesting to see what animals would have to say. And then also, if we were able to talk to them, we would be able to explain and also understand their perspective on the changes in their habitat and in the environment.
Oh, yeah, I really like that answer. Yeah, and getting an animal's perspective would be kind of cool, especially from like an environmental aspect or perspective. So can you tell us more about your personal view and your personal environmental work with The Green Cause and other initiatives?
Yeah, so like you've mentioned, I founded The Green Cause, which is a youth-led initiative, and that was a little bit over 2 years ago. And essentially, high school students volunteer in the different teams to kind of help put together different environmental education content, either that being through the lesson plans that we send out to elementary and middle schools, or social media content. But yeah, what I do specifically as of now is I just manage the team leads. And try to figure out how to expand The Green Cause in a broader sense. So finding more groups to network with, finding more schools to collaborate with, more events to speak on, and just help with those kind of administrative tasks. But with the other initiatives I'm part of, I'm a sophomore at Princeton University, so I'm very involved within the Princeton City Climate Initiative. I'm currently president, and within that, it's one of the biggest environmental clubs at Princeton, and essentially there's like 4 different sub-teams within that, so I just am in charge of helping manage that. And we're also starting a sustainability leaders coalition with all the other sustainability clubs at Princeton, and we're trying to garner a larger sustainability presence at Princeton, and that's really what we're trying to focus on this year. And I'm also a co-chair of New Jersey Student Climate Advocates, and they're a sub-team of PSCI, and our work there is more environmental justice focused. We've been able to collaborate with a few organizations, such as the New Jersey Environmental Justice Alliance, and Also, we've been able to do a couple of in-person volunteering with other organizations. We also have members summarize different environmental like policy documents. And of course, we have a social media account. We have an Instagram, and then we do a lot of social media content there.
Thank you for that. And being so involved with students and climate advocates, why do you believe that education is so crucial in promoting climate action?
Education is, in my opinion, education is crucial because without people understanding like what exactly is happening around their world and not understanding like the actions that they're doing actually makes an impact, they're not going to make that click in their head to actually want to make the change. Because of course, part of it is them wanting to make the change and them having the resources and the abilities to make the change. But part of that is the actual knowledge. So if you understand that what you're doing is maybe not so sustainable and not environmentally friendly, you have to understand why. Because a lot of times when people understand the why, that kind of motivates them to make that change. And that's especially true with younger kids. And the thing about targeting younger kids is when you're young, you're just taking up a lot of information, and that information that you take up kind of develops the kind of person that you are. So if we focus on educating an entire generation to emphasize sustainability and for them to truly understand the importance of their planet, then they're going to actually have that fundamental ability to want to make a difference, and we're going to be raising sustainable leaders. So within also trying to make a change on the larger end, the government end or political end, we should also in tangent be trying to educate our next generation for them to understand why and also be empowered to make a difference. So those two things go hand in hand in my opinion. That's why education is so important.
Yeah, and you discussed sort of the impact of environmental education and its importance, but so how specifically has maybe personally or within for younger students, how do you believe environmental education has promoted a different outlook on the climate crisis, whether you're able to understand topics differently, look at greenwashing differently, like what insight does it offer?
I'd say that it offers like the resource to, especially when taught correctly, to get a great understanding of the issue, and potentially if implemented correctly, they also understand the different perspectives, and they're also able to do that in an engaging way. So especially if we're educating younger kids, we have to implement that interactive activity or those little engaging elements within the lesson to keep them wanting to learn more, wanting to know more. And I think those things combined will really give someone like a full understanding, because if they don't have the proper education, then they're not going to understand and they're not going to feel motivated to want to make a difference. And I think with the right education, they are able to get that. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, yeah, I think you did, especially when you're talking about like new perspectives, looking at it from a more holistic view, especially your comprehensive view. But do you think that if this sort of climate education that we're pushing towards now was implemented earlier with past generations, would there have been a similar impact on how we are currently dealing with climate change?
I 100% think that there would have been a difference, because in the past generations, although there was partially within like after the 70s, like some talk about environmentalism, it definitely was not as much as it should have been. It definitely was not implemented within like cross subjects. It was probably just like one little tiny unit in like earth science, and it kind of still is in many schools. So I'd say if we were able to learn or know or teach as much as we learned back then I think the generations now would be taking this a lot more seriously, and the generation maybe even before would do it as well. But unfortunately, that was also, that would have been really hard to implement back then, because a lot of the information was still very new, and there was also political campaigns by the oil industry and the coal industry trying to spread false information. So that would have been extremely difficult to implement in schools if, you know, they hear something one like source, and then you hear another thing in another source that's seemingly contradictory. That would have been very hard for that generation to comprehend.
Yeah, and actually a lot of what you said, like about presidential elections and then a lot of oil companies, coal companies, fossil fuel companies lobbying and playing a part in government, all still holds today to be true, which I think is why there's so much misunderstanding going on with the climate industry. And a lot of, especially in America, like political division. But so climate education, it kind of falls both into policy and the scientific realms, right? Like you have science promoting climate education with what should be taught, what is global warming, stuff like that, versus policy, like what can you do? So what do you personally believe plays a larger role in promoting climate education?
When I originally, I guess the first thing that came to mind when hearing this question was, honestly, like the science of it, like the actual like knowledge that you teach within environmentalism and the policy, like the way that things are actually implemented. And in my opinion, I'd say that the policy side is more influential, simply because although like within the science, like there are certain like things to teach, it's up to, for example, like the Department of Education and the different schools and different administrators to determine like what exactly is taught to students. Because there's an array of topics and concepts that are extremely interesting, but they are significantly cut and reduced to certain things that they think are the necessities of environmental science. And that stuff is the actual stuff that's being taught to students, which is why I think the actual administration part or the actual policy part is, when it comes to implementing environmental education, is more important, because the science is there, the information's there, but it's really up to what the administration thinks is important enough, in quotations, like that to be taught to children.
Yeah, and like also I think there's a huge bridge between science, like there's a huge gap between science and policy, which is why
I agree.
Yeah, so if I think as long if we can like work together, base policy off of science proven facts, I think that would be a lot better. But I want to move on to the Green Cause specifically. And within the Green Cause, members are able to conduct their own research and form lesson plans. So how, more so on how does this hands-on interactive method work, and why do you think it's beneficial?
I guess, are you asking within like the members, or like how, like what really goes into a lesson? Like, I guess I'm asking like, do you mean like the process of making a lesson, or like the things that go into making a lesson, or both?
Both, like what do members work on, and how does this work? Like, how does the process?
Yeah, so essentially, once members are onboarded, they are first tasked with just making research about a topic that they're passionate about. And after, you know, they have some research, we make them fill out like a lesson plan outline. So this outline includes like the important things that we think that should be taught, and then room for maybe a couple of interactive elements, and then we have like a huge like that one like interactive activity that they associate with their lesson. And the way that we implement all our lessons, the three pillars that we'd like to put into each of our lessons are, you know, one, making sure that the information is engaging and interactive and obviously through, besides the little interactive elements, which sometimes could be like little quiz questions, or could be, you know, showing like media clips of movies or books or characters that these kids are already familiar with to get them interested in the topic, or asking like opinion-based questions to before introducing certain topics. Or of course, one of our members who conducted a lesson on palm oil, they at some point had the kids do like a little scavenger hunt to find like products within their house that contain palm oil. So little activities like that are a great way. Also the visuals of our PowerPoints, we want to make sure that they're visually appealing and that they keep the audience engaged. And then of course that one activity that we have that we like to make as interactive as possible, so either like a little lab demo that they get to recreate in their classrooms or back at home that's associated with the lesson at hand, or it could be for older students like a kind of call for action. So that's like one of our pillars. The other one of our pillars is like solution-based lessons. So at the end of our lessons, we want to make sure that there's the solutions implemented that the students can make. And of course, besides like the individual stuff that you can do, besides just listing that out, we like to also provide resources on like the next steps on how they can actually implement that. So we want to be that bridge between just knowing, like for example, you know, volunteering to help like clean beaches, and then the bridge would be like what specific opportunities are there. So we like to actually be that bridge and help students actually being able to implement the solutions. Same with different companies that they can support and etc. But besides all that, of course, we also for the older kids as well, like a call for action, like different groups that they can join, different ways that they can be engaged within the sustainability realm. And then for younger kids, it could be recommendations to different movies and games and books, so they can learn more. As you know, they're something that you'd recommend for an eighth grader is going to be different from something that you recommend to a third grader. And then the last pillar that we've implemented sort of recently is associating each topic with like a real world consequence or real world impact of that said issue. So for example, if we're doing a lesson on pollution, on water pollution, then we can list like a real example on how water pollution has impacted a community. And it doesn't even have to be a community like far, far away from where they are, right? It could be even a community close by. So the students can see that this isn't just an abstract problem. This is a problem that has real world concrete consequences, and it's happening even next to them. You know, it's not even like, oh, it's happening like across the world. No, it's happening like a few miles from your town. You know, like this town right here is dealing with very real impacts of this environmental issue. And that within itself, we noticed that kids tend to really empathize with that, and that also can be a driver to them wanting to make change. And then, you know, we go through a few reviewing processes after they submit the outline, and then after they submit the presentation, and then they can decide whether they want to do a live presentation or a pre-recorded presentation, although we're trying to wane out of pre-recorded presentations since we're kind of getting out of COVID. Since we did start this in COVID, it was really hard to do something in person, obviously, but now we're hoping that we can start to implement more in-person presentations.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting how you have like a whole step-by-step process and where people can actually take the research that they do and the lesson plans that they've made, give it out and give presentations, like really do a full-on learning process of interactive research, create, learn, build, share, and then send out the message to other people who might also want to get involved with this too. But so both of us are based in New Jersey, and New Jersey has actually promoted a lot of climate education resources to their students. And I think Tammy Murphy previously said something like, as we face the reality of the climate crisis as a state, we also must help the next generation of leaders prepare for the environmental challenges of the future. So New Jersey has incorporated climate change education across the New Jersey student learning standards. So could you share your thoughts on this, its effects, and how this could be implemented nationwide and possibly even worldwide?
Yeah, so I actually did know that. And I'm really glad that they're actually taking a step in the right direction, especially because I believe they're the first to do that in the US.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty much it's great in concept, right? You're putting a greater emphasis on environmental education throughout multiple subjects, not just, you know, environmental science. However, there are a few problems that come into that, and mainly it's just a lot of teachers, especially teachers in different subjects, are not fully trained to teach about environmental science, or at some point they don't even know like how to begin within that process. And I know this because I've talked to a few different teachers, and they've heard from their colleagues this kind of issue, and this is something that teachers have expressed as an issue. So that's why, even though it's been implemented now, it's going to take a little bit of a learning curve for teachers to actually figure out how to integrate environmental science into their seemingly quote-unquote unrelated subjects. I do believe that environmentalism can be integrated within every subject, yeah, as it's so tied to everything. But a lot of teachers who have been teaching a certain way for, you know, maybe 20 years, 10 years, are gonna have to change, and that's gonna take a little bit of time to adapt. So I've heard that as a concern from different teachers. And as if implementing this nationwide, I would love to see this implemented nationwide, although I figured it'd be really hard in states where environmental science is even considered less of an importance. I think what might have to be done is like starting out by talking about environmental science or environmentalism like throughout like an entire science course, not just saving it as a unit. I think for many states you can start there, right? And then tying it into maybe like you have an English class, and then maybe giving options for people to learn about, you know, environmental literature, or maybe in history, like being able to learn more about environmental policies or environmental history, just adding those things in that don't seemingly seem hard to add in. Those things could be like a good starting point for those areas. And I think that would be like a good step. But of course, also facilitating and providing teachers with the proper time, with the proper resources, with the proper help, with whatever they may need to implement this, I think is also vital. Because it's one thing to just say, okay, let me put this into action. Like, okay, let's just say you guys have to teach more about the environment within your subject. But then also helping teachers with that transition is also vital to actually implement this correctly.
Yeah, I like that answer, especially with providing vital resources and giving them the training and the paid experience, whatever is necessary. And also, I think incorporating climate education into different subjects, even just having it as like a course for a semester or a marking period, I think that would be really interesting. Like some schools could offer it as an elective course instead if they can't fit it into their overall course, but offering that would be super beneficial, especially because I think three things, at least in New Jersey where I'm based, is you have to take biology, chemistry, and physics, but really you don't learn about environmental education until later if that's what you choose to take. So because we're talking about going nationwide, worldwide, do you think climate education can be expanded everywhere, including low-income countries or countries that don't have the same resources as the United States?
I think if we were if we were to do that, it would obviously take more effort and more time. The hopeful side of me would like to say yes, that despite the issues that they might face, if they are facilitated or provided the aid with the information, in collaboration with maybe countries that are more developed, they would be able to make this transition. I have heard by reading like a few articles that certain schools, even in like different countries in Africa, they're also attempting to teach about, you know, like pollution and I guess like the different environmental issues that are happening within their communities and getting their students to have that type of knowledge. So I think in that sense, like there is a desire, there is a want. And when there's a want and a desire, there is a way. When there's a will, there's a way. And I think that it would take a lot of work to implement that worldwide, especially in countries that don't find environmentalism to be important. But I think it'd be a great place to start with countries that do consider it important.
So we talked a lot about bringing in new perspectives, bringing in climate education. How can climate education promote environmental justice?
Well, I think understanding the issue of environmental justice and also understanding and learning about the real examples that are happening nearby and understanding that history and how different communities are disproportionately impacted and why they're disproportionately impacted, that racial and socioeconomic reasoning will definitely help people who were not aware about the issue, especially younger people, to want to make that sort of change. Because I think even within schools that teach about environmental science, oftentimes they do not cover environmental justice. So just having that first step of actually covering environmental justice and letting kids that may be in more affluent or wealthier communities understand the disparities and that not everyone has the same luxuries that they do, I think that really does make a difference. Because truly, like, that is not an issue that's covered a lot, and a lot of communities are facing those impacts and those consequences of pollution, of litter, of a lot of other environmental problems on the daily. And other people just have no idea that people live differently than they do.
So do you think education, so we already talked about this, education can promote youth activism. So how can those who are looking to promote environmental activism and can't find it in their schools, how can current teenagers and those get involved with activism at both regional and national levels?
I think within regional levels, obviously, like, you can start different clubs or different initiatives like at your school, but you could also just start different initiatives or organizations in general. You know, the Green Cause wasn't tied to my high school. I think if you don't have the means to like start an organization, you can obviously join. There's a lot of different ways and different other orgs to join. I know there's like the Sunrise Movement. I know that there's like the Beyond Plastics. I know there's a lot of like really huge like nation organizations that have different chapters. So, you know, if you also want to start like a chapter within that organization in your area, you definitely can as well. And then you can, you know, talk to principals, talk to administration, see how those things could be in conjunction with your school, like maybe different collaborations within your school, maybe talking to teachers. I think the thing that students have to do to really make a change is not be afraid to communicate, not be afraid to interact and collaborate with your elders, with your student, with your teachers, with your administration, you know, just really being able to just speak out, because the issues are very important.
We're almost at the end of this episode. Thank you so much for sharing about getting involved with activism. I would also recommend joining like a local coalition, joining your school's environmental club if you have it, or just learning about it on your own. If you learn about it, just learning about it will help you get involved with activism. And like, small things help too, like going to beach cleanups. I think Earth Echo, it's an organization that also promotes environmental education, but they have like a water quality challenge. So if you live by water bodies of water, you can go there and test the water. So anything interactive that you want to do. But I want to ask you now, how has your own experience as a student, as an environmental advocate, shaped the way you view both the climate movement and environmental education?
So I'd say that as someone who has done some work within the environmental field, I feel like I have been a little bit more optimistic, slash I do have some hope in regards to climate change and the issues within the environment, solely because of the people that I've been able to collaborate with and other people within our generation and their work that they're doing. It's so inspiring to meet new people all the time within the environmental field and hear about their work and hear about how much they're doing. And I think within that, like, all of our collaborations will make a difference in the end. So I think having like such a strong generation like ours does give me hope in the end, despite the many issues that there might be. And within environmental education, I've really just learned to appreciate it even more, because I went to a high school where I was provided a lot of environmental education because I was in the environmental program of that high school. But I know that many, many people do not get that same opportunity. So I've been able to be more grateful for the education that I have been provided. And that is partially why I want other people to have that as well.
Thank you for sharing. And finally, these two questions I always ask every single one of my guest speakers, but what are three movies you would recommend to my audience and why?
Yeah, so three movies, I'd say like any of like David Attenborough's like documentaries, so like A Life on Earth, etc. I know there's one that I believe came out on another documentary that came out on Netflix called My Octopus. That one was very interesting. That was like about the conservation work and just about like this octopus, and don't want to spoil it, but you know, the ending is very like very emotional. And then the last one, I forget what the documentary is called, but it was like 24 hours something. Like, it was like talking about like all the environmental like policy within like the last century, and I think it was narrated by Leo DiCaprio. I had to watch that for one of my classes, and that one was pretty good. And there, of course, I know you said three, but I'd say like Fooding. Although I've watched that one many times, I feel like to truly know like the dairy meat industry, like, you should watch it, even though it's sad at times, but I feel like you should know that information.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you've watched these, but like the Chasing Coral, Chasing Ice, like those movies, 10 out of the most beautiful cinematography, super cool. Also, I don't know about you, but I am a fan of books over movies. So what are three books you would recommend?
That's a good question. I feel like a classic is Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. That's one that's definitely on my list of things that I will 100% read. But I think more people should add that to their list as well, because it's such an important and influential book. And then besides that, yeah, because I love reading books too, but it's just really hard to find time to like read a good book. But I read this book recently that I think it's called like Green Bundles, where it ties in like economics with environment and how we can adapt like in both for us to also be economically viable while also being sustainable. And then I'd say, I don't know, I think I'm more of a YouTube watcher. There's a lot of different YouTube channels like to check out that involve sustainability. I don't know, ASAP Science is a really, really good series, like if you like just want to get introduced to the ideas.
Yeah. Also, if you're based in New Jersey, I would recommend I have to read Silent Spring for my summer reading, but I also have to read Tom's River.
Oh, yes.
I really like that one. It talked about like environmental justice, and I like went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole that. Anyways, before we go, are there any last statements you want to share?
If you are interested in joining the Green Cause, check out thegreencause.com, our website, where you'll be able to see the form to join. But yes, we'd love to have you if you're a high school student interested in the environment.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out the Green Cause's Instagram at the Green Cause. Check out their website, thegreencause.com. And that's all for today. Hope that all of my listeners who are starting school as well have a great rest of the year. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out The Green Cause on Instagram at The Green Cause, their Twitter at The Green Cause 1, and their LinkedIn for more updates about their organization. And check out their website, thegreencause.com, to get involved and learn more as well. That's all for today, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.